DNA evidence has freed hundreds of prisoners wrongly convicted of crimes. Harder to prove are cases where inmates say they're innocent, but there's no genetic evidence to substantiate their claims. That's one problem facing Darrell Diamond Jones, a man convicted of first-degree murder in Brockton. Lisa Cavanaugh is director of the Innocence Program.
Darrell was convicted 30 years ago, and in the eyes of the court, in the eyes of the prosecutor, probably in the eyes of many members of the public, he's guilty. So to say it's an uphill battle is an understatement.
This week, WBUR, in collaboration with the New England Center for Investigative Reporting, is examining the case of Darrell Jones in a series of stories we're calling Reasonable Doubts. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman, who's leading this, joins us in the studio. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Bob.
Where is Jones now, Bruce? And bring us up to date. What's happening with his case?
Well, right now, Jones is in the state maximum security prison in Shirley, and the Innocence Program is trying to get him a new trial based on what they claim is new forensic evidence.
What are prosecutors saying, and have they heard your stories on this week?
I don't know if they've heard the stories, Bob, but a spokesperson for the Plymouth County DA's office has told us repeatedly that they'll have no comment while the appeal is pending, and they don't want to retry the case in the court of public opinion. They did have until the end of December to respond to the Innocence Program's motion, but so far they haven't responded.
All right. We should point out Darrell Jones was convicted, and obviously the jurors in that case were convinced by the evidence.
Yes. Jones was tried in 1986. It was based entirely or almost entirely on eyewitness testimony. But the prosecutor provided neither physical evidence nor a motive linking Jones to the killing of an alleged Brockton drug dealer at the time. And not that they had to provide a motive, but they didn't. And we don't know why the drug dealer was killed.
Give us a little more about Darrell Jones. You mentioned he was 19 years old. He was from Boston.
That's right. He was the father of three at the time. He had a juvenile record for theft. When he was arrested, he had a part-time job, but he couldn't afford an attorney, so the court appointed one for him. But, Bob, here's the interesting thing. Jones contends that part of the reason that he was convicted was his lawyer.
You mean ineffective assistance of counsel? That's the formal term, essentially, that the attorney didn't do his job well?
No, there's more, Bob. One of Jones's appeals in the past was based upon his lawyer's competency. That was denied. But, Bob, we now have new information that there was a lot more going on with his attorney. It was the luck of the draw that the court appointed Brockton attorney Kenneth Elias to defend Darrell Jones. But from Lisa Cavanaugh's perspective at the Innocence Program, it was bad luck.
The extraordinarily poor defense that he received is shocking.
Court records show attorney Ken Elias spent just 14 hours investigating the murder case before the trial. And it appears he didn't pre-interview a single witness in a case that prosecutors based almost entirely on eyewitness testimony.
This was not only an eyewitness identification case, but it was an eyewitness identification case where not a single person actually identified him in the courtroom, and where every single one who gave a description that didn't match him.
Several eyewitnesses contradicted each other, and sometimes even themselves. Darrell Jones says during the trial, his defense attorney missed many of the discrepancies.
There were so many things to bring up what was happening in this case, and there were so many things wrong what people were saying, and he wasn't addressing any of it.
For example, at least four witnesses, either in depositions, grand jury, or trial testimony, described the shooter, who is noticeably shorter, as much as a foot shorter than the victim. Jones believes his attorney could have ended the trial right from the start.
He should have told me to stand up. That's the main thing he should have did. From day one, he should have just said stand up, because the guy that they were looking for, they said was 5'8", 5'9". I'm 6'even". I was 6'even" then. So that was the first thing we should have did. You know what I mean?
A Boston Police Department mugshot of Jones, taken a year before he was arrested for murder, shows Jones was 6 feet tall. The autopsy report put the victim at 6'1". Lisa Cavanaugh of the Innocence Program.
Mr. Rodriguez, 6 feet one. They're 1 inch apart. No one would have mistaken them for being substantially different in height.
In the trial transcript, Elias seems preoccupied, unprepared, and forgetful. He frequently misplaces files and fails to ask obvious follow-up questions. There are times he objects, even after the judge had just sustained his objection. One Brockton policeman who knew Ken Elias well told us he could be brilliant in court, but looked like an unmade bed.
Perfect description.
Kevin Reddington is a prominent Brockton criminal defense attorney and was a colleague of Ken Elias.
Kenny was a force of nature in the courtroom. He was always disheveled, his hair was always messy, and his tie would be sideways, but, you know, Kenny was a good lawyer.
I'm in jail. He wasn't no good lawyer for me. He wasn't an honest lawyer.
Darrell Jones says his attorney, Ken Elias, kept a secret. During the trial, his lawyer was under investigation by the Board of Bar Overseers for stealing a client's money. Elias's unethical actions would later cost him his law license. In his opening statement, Elias surprised Jones when he told jurors he wasn't going to sit next to his client. "I like to be alone," said the defense attorney. "I don't want to be distracted." So during the trial, Darrell Jones sat 10 feet behind his lawyer in a raised prisoner dock.
Keeping him in the dock? No, you can't. You couldn't do that. God, no.
Brockton attorney Kevin Reddington.
Because you have a right to communicate with the attorney. You certainly have a right, you know, your thoughts, your observations. No, you never let a defendant sit in the dock.
The distance between Darrell Jones and his defense attorney would prove significant on day 3 of the trial, when the lawyer surprised his client with another courtroom pronouncement.
Mr. Jones don't know any of this, but I also represent this cop that's testifying and the cop that just testified and never told me none of that. Me and I didn't know. I was like in shock.
Mid-trial, Jones's defense attorney told the court the police witnesses for the prosecution had been his clients.
Right, what do you mean you represent all of them? This guy's pulling a stunt. This is their friend. You know what I mean? But it was too late. The people had already testified. You remember, the cops had already testified, and then he breaks out and says, oh, I represent them.
I've never seen such extreme evidence of conflict of interest with witnesses of such critical importance.
Again, Lisa Cavanaugh, director of the Innocence Program.
Here you have a trial attorney who was representing 3 of the officers who were the key witnesses in the case and who were the only source of identification evidence, whose credibility was the centerpiece of the Commonwealth's evidence. That makes it extraordinary.
The trial judge asked Jones if he was satisfied with his defense attorney, despite the dangers of a conflict of interest. The 19-year-old defendant said, "I'm not changing. I'm not even considering that." The judge allowed Elias to continue defending Jones. But neither Jones nor the judge knew Ken Elias was being investigated by the state bar for stealing a client's money. A year after Darrell Jones was convicted of murder, Elias would lose his license to practice law. 7 years later, when he asked to be reinstated, Elias admitted he was barely paying attention to his legal work during the time he was representing Jones. He wrote, "I had no idea what was going on. I provided a disservice not only to my clients, but myself and my family by my lack of attention and carelessness." Attorney Kenneth Elias died suddenly in 2013. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Bruce Gellerman.